Hey, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Behind the Signs. I am Joe, here with my wonderful co-host and daughter.
That's me.
Sign industry lifers, former sign shop owner, current sign shop owner.
Yes.
And hopefully we're going to have a great conversation.
You said my daughter, but you didn't say my name, and I didn't say my name. I just said that's me. So, hey, I'm Liz.
Liz, sorry.
It's fine. I mean, they should know by now.
That's true.
Yeah.
So we are co-hosts of Behind the Signs podcast. I think I just spit a chunk of cashew onto the microphone. Anyway.
We're professionals.
Yeah. So hopefully we're getting a tiny bit better at this. I don't know. We will see. But we're recording this on Friday afternoons. And so we're a little tired. How was your week this week? What happened in the sign industry with you this week?
Oh, well, we're recording this in early April of 2025. So this week has been a month long, and I work in the sign industry in a time of mass tariffs.
Yeah.
So it's been a roller coaster.
Yeah.
But you know, we're here, we're making it, and that's all that we can do.
Yeah.
One day at a time, maybe.
That's true. I had a crazy week this week too. We completely rebuilt the Sign Tracker training channel on YouTube. So I had to record 6 training videos, make all the thumbnail covers, edit the videos myself, post them. Thankfully, I had some help with all the descriptions. But so if I guess that leads me to thank our sponsors, right? So, and we want to thank Sign Tracker for their support of this podcast. So sign-tracker.com, hit the little try it free button, and there's no obligation, no credit cards or anything like that. And it's a full working trial. It can integrate it with QuickBooks and all the stuff. You can do all the stuff. So give it a whirl. And then, yeah. And also check out Inktabo.com. That is our parent company. And there is a whole lot of productivity tools there. So again, it's Inktabo.com. And there's just too much to talk about. They have so many different type products for print, garment, sign, you know, you name it, graphics tools. So go and check that out. But thanks so much to them for all the support that they give us producing this podcast. So today we're continuing.
Most importantly.
Okay.
Thanks to you guys.
Oh, damn. I always forget that.
He always forgets. And I don't know how, because he loves people.
I do. And I love you really guys does. Very much.
But anyway, thanks to you guys for watching. Be sure to like and subscribe and pass it on to your friends in the industry.
Yep.
So today, now let's kick it off.
Let's kick it off. Let's get started.
Yeah.
What are we talking about today?
Today, we're kind of continuing on our journey, right? Last month, we talked about kind of turning your mindset from employee to leader, and we're just continuing down that path. So today, we're talking a little bit more in depth about setting up systems to help you kind of get started.
When I think about setting up systems,
yes,
I think about that whole adage, you know, you got to work on the business instead of in the business. So I think that's what we're kind of talking about today.
That's kind of the point. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. Well, it's hard because there's a lot of layers there, right? So, yeah.
When you own SignTech, what was the point where you really what was the turning point where you really understood that or really realized, oh, I got to work on this business.
Yeah, I think there was, I'm just going to rewind it even a little bit further back from when I actually owned a janitorial contracting business before I get into the sign industry, and ultimately grew that business to about 100 employees. But I remember one night I was cleaning an office, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was still in college. I was with your mom, actually. You guys were home, tucked in bed, left you alone in our student housing trailer park on the side of the freeway. Thank God you were never kidnapped, but we were young and dumb. So hopefully you've talked about all this with your therapist. But
Jessica was there.
That's true too.
She was older than
Yeah, you did have your older sister there. But I remember cleaning an office building at 2 o'clock in the morning, and we were both exhausted, and we both were in college full time. We're vacuuming, and we just looked at each other and said, "This is absolutely stupid." and you know, we, that's when we decided to start hiring some employees and building some, you know, systems around how to manage and organize and schedule, you know, schedule the projects. And I think the same happened to me in the sign industry. You know, when I first started, I had, it was just me and one other guy. We both came out of sales from another sign shop. And so in a way that was a good thing because we started with a sales focus. And I've always kind of always felt, especially in the sign world, I learned those lessons the hard way in the janitorial business, but first and foremost, you're a sales organization. And I think I really want to spend a lot more time talking about sales next month.
Yeah, I think next month. We're going to talk about that.
But I do think, you know, we had a little bit of an edge in the sense that we started off very sales focused. The downside of that was a lot of work came in quickly.
Yeah.
So then next thing you know, we're working till midnight and my business partner and I are doing our own design work. We're doing our own estimating. We're trying to figure out any kind of a system for project management. Back then, I mean, this was, you're talking about before telephones were invented. So, sure. I mean, no, it was definitely, I mean, the internet was a thing, but it was still, there wasn't, you know, there wasn't like Google Calendar. There wasn't SaaS apps yet, really. And so everything was sort of done in Excel and Access. And but we did from the beginning, you know, well, it took us, once these sales started coming in and we were sitting there till midnight doing all this work, I kind of had that, this is stupid again moment. And so I just started realizing like, this is not sustainable. I'm exhausted, you know? And so we had to start thinking through like, you know, what we were going to do about it. And so, and we can talk a little bit more about the things that we did at first, but you know, how about you? I mean, you kind of started your business with an advantage of,
It was a little different, right? Like we started
there were tools already.
There were tools and I had very easy access to them. Luckily, I know that I am in a very different position than a lot of people, but these tools are accessible to everybody.
Yeah.
And very affordable, which is great. That's not how it used to be. When you started, there weren't affordable options for management software, right?
Well, and for us, I had to build it myself. So
And we'll get to that, but that is, and here we are, SignTracker.
Yeah.
But for me, what I did have very quick, right? Very early on into our business journey, because we're about to turn 8.
Yep.
8. We're about to turn 8. So, that we're still fairly young in this industry, though I've been in it since I was 10 as an owner.
You beat the odds though. You beat the 5-year odds of, you know, 50%.
I don't know how sometimes, but so that, and that's what it comes to, right? Like for me, so we started
fail in 5 years. Congratulations.
So we started in 2016 and we started a little different. So we had a team of designers in place and really trained them so that we weren't working in the business as much as a lot of owners are, but we still were. Like we didn't have project managers in place. We didn't have systems in place. So we had to build all of that, but while still doing sales. And doing, you know, all the things. The only thing we had on staff were designers. And that was their role. And then, of course, I was doing all the accounting, HR, project management, account management, sales.
Flat.
So then a lovely thing happened in 2020, just 4 years old. After, you know, for us, it was fairly sustainable to have 5 designers. And meanwhile, I'm still the only project manager, you know, but that was sustainable for a while or so we thought. I am very much a do-it-yourself person, not in the DIY sense, which doesn't make sense, but it's hard for me to delegate. It always has been. So hitting that switch of, oh shit, I need to work on this business, the pandemic.
Yeah.
Because all of a sudden, construction shut down.
Oh yeah.
And we had to find a way to maintain a workforce and maintain or a workplace for people because we didn't want to have to furlough or let anyone go. And we didn't have to, which was really nice. But because we took that moment and immediately pivoted to working on the business, and we were forced to delegate a lot of tasks out, and some of the project management stuff had kind of fallen off, right? Because the pandemic, everything was at a halt.
Right.
So we were forced very quickly to work on the business. And I think that was the first moment that I was like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
I get it. This is so important because we have to be able to pivot. We have to be able to plan.
Yeah.
We have to be able to forecast way more than what I can afford to do when I'm so busy in it every day.
Yeah. So what would you, for you, what was one of the hardest roles that you finally said, like, I need to let go of this a little bit? And then how did you do it? Was it like a giant leap of faith? Was it little baby steps? Or how did you finally decide the only way I'm going to scale is to let go?
I would be dishonest if I didn't say estimating has been the hardest one.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's actually the one I'm working on delegating right now. So understand that as we're giving this advice to you guys, like, I'm living it a lot of days. Like, I'm still in this industry. And again, still relatively young in this industry. So I'm still letting go of certain things. And estimating is one of those ones, especially as an accountant. I'm just like,
control freak.
Whew, boy, am I a type. Like, yeah. And also, that is so close. You hold it so close to the vest because that's literally how you make your money.
Yeah.
And right now, how I'm letting go of it is I have an amazing, amazing PM who, the first step we took was I had her start getting quotes for me instead of me getting all the quotes. First, I taught her how to separate packages to go to different vendors and where each one was going. So kind of learn the system of like who gets what and really start to learn what people do.
Yeah.
When you see a sign type, you're like, oh, who would be the best partner for that? And
when you say partner, you're saying wholesale fabricator.
Vendor. Yeah. Sorry. Broker. So we do not build anything in-house. We've very firmly, after growing up in a fabrication shop, will not own one. Because
we built everything in-house.
Yes, I will.
Maybe not. With the exception of like Gemini letters or whatever.
Right. You know. And a lot, but okay, so that's a great example. So even if you do build things in-house, you're still getting other vendors outside to do some of the things, right? Yeah. Whether it's printing vinyl, like digital graphics, or whether it's Gemini letters or anything. I mean, you're going to have someone getting quotes for these things.
Yeah.
And I was the one doing it
so,
because I just felt like I can talk to them better than she can. And I can describe things better than she, but I can't, right?
Yeah.
That's teachable things. So first I let go of getting quotes and that took a very long time. And then I let go of reviewing those quotes for accuracy. And then now I'm finally letting go of, okay,
compiling them.
Here, you can put them all in SignTracker because that's the system that we use for quoting. And yes, I am biased, but also I've used a lot of systems. And for me, that's just the one that works best. But now she's compiling those in SignTracker and building our contracts. And then I'm reviewing the contracts before they go out.
That's excellent. That's
and like we had a bid that went out this week that we were just struggling to get information on. And it was rough. And it was due at noon. We were still waiting on information from the GC. And like, anyway, then of course I'm like, oh, well, I'll put it together because it's a bid. And that's totally different than a quote, right? For us, it's a very different process. And I was like, well, I'll do it in the morning because I have nothing on my plate. It's early April, guys. I'm an accountant. Like, I was on the phone with my CPA all morning that morning. And I'm freaking out, like as I'm on hold, we're trying to talk through things. And I'm like, oh crap, like I have to turn this bid in by noon. And so I messaged my girl and I said, hey, I need you to start putting these in. I know I said I would do it. I don't have time. I'm in a call. And she said, on it.
Nice.
And that was a moment of just like, I did it.
It worked.
I delegated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and you know what? I'm going to just say to follow up with that, because quoting was the hardest for me too. I would say estimating was the hardest.
I think every step is hard.
Yeah.
So before quoting, because that's probably the last one, did you have one that was hard for you to let go prior to that?
Well, I mean, definitely project management.
Oh, well, hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, definitely project management. Mm-hmm. I can, you know, it's just easier for me to do this than to explain to somebody else how to do this. It's easier for me to process this. And you got to remember too, because there was no SaaS apps or anything like that, mm-hmm. when I started, I was building everything mm-hmm. as I was solving the problem. So mm-hmm. and I taught myself how to code very intricate Excel workbooks and Access. Yeah. And so we were using all of that sort of stuff.
But you said something so good that I want to bring attention to. Okay. It's easier for me to do this than to show someone how.
Yeah.
It sure as hell is easier for you to do it than to show someone how. That is a growing pain. But let me tell you, as someone who's going through it, it might be easier the first time. But when you're stuck in something and you need to get a quote out and you can't do it, you're thanking your lucky stars that you showed someone how to do it.
Yeah. And it's easy to do that on one project or two.
It's
or
not half sustainable. A dozen.
But when you get 10, you're pissing off clients.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just the bottom line.
You're
losing business. You're the bottleneck.
Yeah.
But I would say estimating,
and project management too.
Yeah, project management, estimating, the big two. But I'd say with estimating, it comes up a lot in conversations that I have with sign shops, whether it's because of Sign Tracker or whatever, but or through Behind the Signs, or it comes in a lot on Behind the Signs. When people sign up to join our community, they will ask questions. Mm-hmm. I need to mention this too. If you ever have any questions that you would like Liz and I to research and talk about on this podcast, please send us a direct message or post a question in the Facebook group. And first of all, there's a lot of people in that group that know a lot more than we do.
Oh yeah. I mean, people will give you their opinions and we do try
to learn a lot every day.
Absolutely. And I do just want to say for everyone that's in that group, like we don't have a lot of negative comments, but we do moderate it and make sure that if anything negative is said, it's removed.
Yeah.
And so this is very helpful. Yeah, it's very safe and helpful.
No question's a dumb question.
No, everyone started somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. But back to the estimating, when I do talk to folks, I say, look, estimating is hard to let go of, right? I mean, it's you're wanting to stay consistent on your margins across all projects. Not that profit on each job they might fluctuate a little bit depending on mm-hmm. type of projects, but for the most part, you have this margin goal for your company mm-hmm. and you're feeling like you want to control that whole thing. So like Liz said, start off small. So maybe you delegate one small part where you say, hey, go get this quote for an install. Go get this quote for this digitally printed banner. We're going to outsource this. That's mm-hmm. one thing. Or if you're a shop that does a lot of like, say, Coroplast signs, banners, you guys do huge projects.
Yeah.
So, but if you do, by the square foot window graphics, those sorts of simple, you know, single-sided, double-sided Coroplast sign, that sort of thing, build some templates out that have all the markups in there the way you want it, your materials marked up the way you want it, your labor rates are marked up the way you want it, mm-hmm. so that someone at the front desk, or if you have a front desk, the project manager or your mm-hmm. admin assistant can open that simple template, mm-hmm. create a quick quote, send it off to the customer, and it frees you up as the owner, or if you're big enough and you have an estimator, it frees the estimator up to really concentrate on the big complex projects. So if you do a combination of, you know, electric signs or ADA sign packages, save that stuff for the people that really know how signs are fabricated and installed so that the quotes can be accurate, and delegate out the smaller stuff. And you can always have a check and balance system too. Like, hey, put this quote together. Like you said, you review it before mm-hmm. it goes out to the customer. Mm-hmm. So,
and for me, the reason I review it, right? For me, I think one of the hardest parts is like trust.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, right? Like how do you overcome that fear of like, no one will ever care about this like you do.
They do,
it's
though.
Your business, right?
They
but
do.
And that's just an internal fear.
Yeah.
So how do you overcome that? How did you overcome that? Like, well, how did you kind of, as you were learning to delegate?
So for the let's go back to the quoting thing for a second. Since we're kind of talking about, because that's a big piece.
It's not specific to quoting though. I think in general, right?
No,
like let's just talk in general. When you're looking at how do I trust that?
So I did it in small steps, right?
Yeah.
So like for the when we get to the point where we hired someone that was an estimator, and first of all, that person that started doing the estimating also came from a shop environment too. So, but I would say, okay, here's a quote that I want you to do. And then I would review it, approve it, and send it out. Here's two, here's four, here's 10 quotes. So then it got to a point where, okay, if I was doing 10 quotes and, you know, that took me a whole week to do, especially if they were big, this person could do them. I could review them in an hour. Mm-hmm. And so then it really freed me up to go and work on other components of the business. So,
and when it comes down to it, you have to be freed up.
You do.
You can't do it all, right? If you start to develop that trust, it's going to promote growth. Yep. It's going to promote people wanting to be more invested in the business, yep, right? And for me, I think the way that we kind of did that was like, we developed company culture. Our company culture is strong. Yeah, like we literally have had an employee who, they have a tattoo of our company and we have them because we were like, he literally can't get one before we do. So we all got them together because it was like, I think he won an award and we gave him an option of three things. And getting a Studio Zo tattoo was our rodeo clown. Right. It was like, whatever. No one would pick this. One of them was like, you get an extra 2 days of PTO or a round trip airline ticket on Southwest Airlines. Anywhere Southwest flies, a round trip ticket or a Studio Zo tattoo. And his ass picked a Studio Zo tattoo. Like, this is cult level shit. And that's what we did, right? We developed a culture so that we know that our team is invested in this business. Yeah. They want to be here. They want to see it succeed. And that has helped in us delegating these things.
Yeah. Well, that's how it's going to work, right? So yeah. a successful business has vested team members. Mm-hmm. And if you're running around trying to do everything yourself, first of all, you're going to be burnt out. You're going to be barking out orders. You're going to get sloppy. You can't sustain it. You're
going to make mistakes.
You're going to lose it in that giant pile of paperwork on your desk, mm-hmm, all that stuff.
And so, I've done it as the person who literally, it's been in the past couple months that I've started to let go of estimating. Like, I've been that choke point. I've been the bottleneck. And there's a very real possibility that we've lost projects because I couldn't get it out fast enough because I have other stuff I have to do.
And how's it going? Like, now that you have somebody else really doing it.
I'm telling you, after that bid thing this week, my whole mindset has changed of like,
you've got to let it go.
Holy crap. It saved my butt and it was so good. I would not have had time to finish that bid. So, I think that the other thing is that I know, you know, for me, I didn't want to delegate estimating. My employee came to me and said, hey, I really want to take this on. I really want to do it. I think I'd be good at it. And I have the room on my plate and I know you need the help. Oh. And I was like, okay, all right, yeah. And to me, that means that I've developed this culture of trust. Mm-hmm. And she knows that she's empowered to take new things on and she has the ability to do it. And I trust that she will do it. And so I know that for me, that's a success sign, right? For me, that says, oh, I built that culture well. I helped her feel supported. I helped her feel empowered and I helped her take on new tasks and start to grow herself.
Well, because ultimately, if you think about it, the difference between working in the business and on the business, mm-hmm, is freeing the owners, right? It's freeing for the owners because you'll be able to go on vacation. Like if you take the time to trust your team to do just as good or care about the business just as much as you do. Mm-hmm. And maybe as an owner, 99% they'll do it. Maybe there's a 1% that you'd always do it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a 1% that you'll always care about the business a little bit more. But the bottom line is you can, like you said, create a culture and build a team that does care almost as much as you do.
But that is working on the business.
Yeah, exactly.
Developing that culture and having more time to do that with other team members, that is what you're freeing yourself up to do, which is great.
It'll give you a greater peace of mind about the business.
And, absolutely.
And your customers, all of it. It takes you out of the commodity world and puts you into like you know, it puts you into a place of where your customers feel like the whole team cares.
Yeah.
And that's a game changer. But yeah. All right. So some of the things, let's talk about the tools.
Sure. Super important.
Yeah. Because if you get to that point where you're, okay, now I'm going to start delegating, I'm going to start training, mm-hmm. I'm going to start letting go and let this company just explode because I'm willing to kind of include everybody. What are the systems that you used and what are some of the systems that I've used over the years?
I feel like I came in at such an easier time. Things are so much more automated than they used to be. So I'm more curious, what are the systems that you used? We know, I think at this point, that you built SignTracker.
Yeah, so
SignTracker. Because there was a lack of systems.
Yeah.
But SignTracker wasn't what it is today. It was spreadsheets, which is great. But right. What did you use besides that? Like, how did you guarantee that things didn't just slip through the cracks?
So for us, you know, when I had my sign shop, we originally had nothing. So, and it was before, you know, it was before even having like a server, a shared server. So, but ultimately I used Excel, you know, the world runs on Excel. Still, in a lot of ways, the world does still run on Excel.
Google Sheets.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Google Sheets. I got to be more modern. Google Sheets. It's for amateurs. Excel is for the professionals.
I wholeheartedly agree with that, actually.
No, I like Google Sheets too. But basically, you know, we built the system for project management, mm-hmm. for quoting, and it was all in Excel and it was integrated workbooks with using Access. And but then we had a server. Mm-hmm. And so we had shared files on the server. So we had a really good system in place. And you guys do this really well too, is a folder structure where mm-hmm. we had our design, original, you know, initial designs.
But your server logos. Was like, you had a physical server and a server room.
Oh yeah. We had a server.
Wild.
Room. We had a server, we had a server, and then we had a backup server and then like another intense. Redundancy drive.
Wow. The pressure to maintain that.
And we blew a server one time. There was some big power outage thing. I know we ended up losing a couple years worth of artwork. It was a nightmare. But then, you know, we also used QuickBooks. Back mm-hmm. then it was desktop version. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we just kind of grew with the times, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, eventually we used Gmail, and then eventually we used QuickBooks Online and Google Drive. And then when I sold my sign company, I set out to just develop SignTracker as a real software as a service, you know, online application. And so that's where I'm at now. So we didn't have that. We didn't have, you know, that level of tools back then. But the big mm-hmm. thing about systems, and look, I'm a huge super fan of SignTracker, obviously. But
there's so many out there.
There's a lot, you know, and some, like, you know, just because I also love Inktabo, there's Printabo. So if you're a graphics only or, you know, a garment or promotional mm-hmm. product company, that is an amazing tool. And then there's other ones that are, you know, much more ERP centered. So obviously if you're a very large electric sign shop and you do a ton of manufacturing, it might be that you need to work with an ERP mm-hmm. Company that will help build something out for you. But if you're a giant company doing tens and tens of millions of dollars, you can afford to have someone build something that's special. But
I mean, for us, we're not, you know, we're still a small sign company.
Yeah.
Design firm, actually. For us, we use what has worked for us. And there are a lot of things out there. And this isn't listing everything that we use, but Google Drive has been imperative. We were very organized. We set it up in a very organized way at the very beginning. We set up, I can't even take credit for this. My business partner set up great folder structures, and we make sure to maintain that. That way we don't have to worry about backing it up anywhere. It's all on the cloud. As my mother-in-law would say, it's in the clouds. anyway, so that's really nice. And we, of course, use SignTracker. And I do want to say, like, I know that I'm biased, but also I've tried other softwares. No offense. I've searched, and for us, it's the one that works best. I'm not saying there isn't anything else out there. There definitely is. And find what works for you. But for me, the combination has been Google Drive, which works seamlessly with SignTracker. SignTracker is the best option I've found for quoting personally. Plus, if I ever have an issue with it, I know who to contact.
You have a direct line.
Direct. And the other thing I use is QuickBooks. And I am in no way promoting QuickBooks because it sucks. But
I do hear that a lot.
It's a necessary evil. And as someone with an accounting background, I'm grateful that I know what the backside of QuickBooks is doing. So I know how to undo things that it does mess up. But I've even had extensive conversations with my CPA complaining about QuickBooks, and she does the same. And when it comes down to it, they monopolize that side of things. But I will say they've done some good things that have helped, right? QuickBooks now, you can like streamline, do auto payroll. They can help you with your payroll taxes. Like they have integrated a few more things in there. And of course that integrates with SignTracker for quoting. So for me, those three systems, Google Drive, SignTracker, and QuickBooks are the winners. We also of course use Adobe Creative Cloud. Unfortunately, that is another necessary evil for design.
I do like Creative Cloud though.
I'm not the one.
I'm a heck of a designer, so do use it.
I use the PDF, Adobe Acrobat, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That's it. Anyway.
And I will say too, not that this is a commercial for SignTracker, but seems like we're talking a lot about systems today, but SignTracker did just release not that long ago a file management system and tagging system. Mm. If you don't want to use Google Drive and just keep everything housed with the projects mm-hmm. themselves, you can do it there too. But if you have tons of huge files, I mean, I guess it makes sense to have an external drive too.
Yeah. I will say, like, is there anything that for someone starting out, like, is there anything you wish that you'd put into place earlier? Like it could be a person, it could be a software, it could be.
Yeah, I would say, it worked out well for us, right? Cause we grew the company I learned a lot of hard lessons in the beginning, things the hard way in the beginning, but I would say if I was just starting out, focus on selling. And again, we talked a little bit about that earlier, but mm-hmm. We'll talk a lot about sales next month. I think that's going to be our topic for sure. But,
absolutely.
But I would say, a lot of sign shop owners they say to themselves, well, hey, I'm not really a salesy kind of a person, but I would say, get out there, develop relationships in your community. No one's going to tell your story better than you.
Right.
But then when the work starts coming in, I would say for me, like that first person is critical. I feel like that first hire is so critical.
Yeah.
And the sign industry is kind of quirky in the sense too. Like who do you hire first? Because without design, they say like, hey, without design, there is no sign. Right.
Right.
So do you, unless you're have design skills, do you hire a designer first? We were fortunate in that our first hire was a designer, but she was also very organized and a project manager. And I know that's two sort of separate skill sets.
Oh, completely. And like what luck that you found someone like that.
But I think if you didn't find somebody like that, then I would consider outsourcing design work and hiring that admin/project manager assistant first and delegating like what happens when you as the owner, you're out doing business development and sales, bring that first deal in the door. I mean, at first you might manage your own stuff, but when you get to the point where too many deals are coming in, have somebody that can take it from you at the front door and that'll work it through the system. And then, with systems, I mean, try to have something in place right from the beginning. You're not ever too small to get something started. And then, whether it's working with that person and delegating and teaching and then, as the business grows and you can afford it, get the designer next and then just continue to scale. But I would say I would say the project management admin duties can be the most time consuming. It'll keep you from getting more sales in the door. So get somebody as quick as possible and systems in place to support that. I would say that's my advice too.
I definitely do agree. Like I go back and forth, like, first of all, systems, set up your systems. And I strongly encourage anyone to do it how we did it, in the sense of so it's more scalable, set it up as if you're a large company. Set up your Google Drive or whatever file management system you have. Set up your employee handbook. Set up your, I know we've already talked about that stuff, but set all these things in place as if you already have employees, as if you already have a large team, because when you start to hire, that's going to be easier. The other thing is—
that's what franchises do. Right.
Absolutely. You're buying a kit, right?
You're buying the kit. Yeah.
And for the other thing,
that's not a bad option for some people, by the way.
I think that's a great way to go for a lot of people. But I think the other thing that's really important that we haven't talked a lot about, but we could, is writing out kind of delegation of duties, right? So for us, it would be writing out job descriptions. Great for a few reasons. One is you have them for when you're ready to hire for that position. The second is, even if you're doing all of those positions right now, you're drawing that line of delegation for yourself.
Yeah, that's good.
So you're seeing the difference in this is this hat, this is this hat, this is this hat. So when you're ready to start taking them off, only
like a paragraph each, even.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be huge.
Kind of gives you a vision, right?
Absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah. So start writing those SOPs or job descriptions, if you will. And that way, when you need to take that hat off, you know where that line is. And you know, and also that person, whoever you're bringing on, knows where the line is and knows what they need, that knows what the expectations of the position are.
Yeah.
Which can get really muddied in small businesses.
Well, especially so in the beginning, because
for us, it was really important to just like try to separate that as much as possible. Sometimes you're hiring someone for two hats, i.e. design and PM.
Yep.
But when it gets to the point where you can start splitting those positions, if the lines of duties are clear, then you know where to split that position. So if you've hired a designer that magically is an A-type personality, which doesn't happen that often, but if you do find one that can obviously is creative and knows how to design and use software and also come up with the solutions, but then also has the ability to organize the job and manage it. Those two personality traits don't usually happen together, but it does exist.
Yeah.
And if you find that, if they know where that line of duty separation is, then when you hire either the person who's just going to be a designer, not as if that's just a designer, but more if they are going to take on the design only duties and the other person is going to take on project management only duties, you know where that split is and there's not a point of contention. So I think setting that up in place in the very beginning would be my recommendation to people.
Yeah. But I would say, kind of wrapping this idea up of working on the business, what does it exactly mean? And I think there's three main components. If you're setting out to grow your business, and even if you've been in business for a lot of years, but you're like, you know what, I want to scale this puppy, or you're just starting out, here's the thing. Your role is you need to be the voice of your company in the community that Absolutely. Will bring in sales. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not a salesy person, it doesn't matter. Your passion and your love for your own company and wanting to help other people will be contagious, and people mm-hmm. want to do business with people like that. And then two, systems development, so that when that work comes in, it lands somewhere. It doesn't just fall through the cracks.
Mm-hmm.
And three, people development mm-hmm. and building a strong company culture. That's working on the business. Those are the three things working on the business. If you're spending all your time printing banners all day and not working on those three things, and I'm not saying you're not going to be doing that at first.
At first,
you might be printing banners or ordering the banner or making the Coroplast signs or running across town to pick up some vinyl. I mean, you're going to be doing that kind of stuff. That's all working in the business. And ultimately, those duties need to be done by somebody else if you're going to be successful in any kind of company, really, but especially in the sign industry. And you can do it. You got this. And so anyway, we just want to encourage you to work on your business, a little bit in it, less in it, more on it. You got it. Well,
especially as you grow, right?
Yeah, for sure.
You're going to be on and in the beginning. You're going to do it all. But doing it all isn't sustainable.
No.
And it's going to limit you in the long run. So just kind of setting yourself up for success on a bigger picture, on a grander scheme. That's how you kind of start that bird's eye view of working on it.
Exactly.
So,
all right.
All right. Well, we will be talking with Tammy Napolitano, I think, right? Yep. Next time.
Yep.
And she's going to talk a little bit more about setting up systems. Gosh, that's what she specializes in. So we're really excited to talk to her.
She is good.
Yeah. Super excited for that episode for you guys. This is airing after ISA. So thank you so much for everyone that came and talked to us and
yes,
hung out with us. We loved meeting all of you. Anyway, great to talk everyone. To you.
Yep. Yeah. Love you guys.
Be sure to like and subscribe and follow and
comment, and, share, yeah. all the stuff, all the social media yeah. stuff.
And also you can find us, of course, on not just YouTube. You can see us on our Facebook group at Behind the Signs. And then also you can follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that fun stuff.
Yep. We're getting that all together too.
Catch it where you find it.
All right.
All right.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye.